You're listening to Strong Runner Chick Radio, where our goal is to educate, empower, and connect female distance runners. If you enjoy this episode, be sure to leave a review on iTunes or any platform of your choosing, or share it with someone who might find this episode helpful. Thanks so much for listening and enjoy the show. Special shout out to today's sponsor and the sponsor of this entire Health as a Foundation to Sports series, Athlete Blood Test. They provide individualized, athlete-specific blood analysis to discover your unique nutrition, training, and recovery needs. Join the thousands of enthusiasts, elites, and pros that have already used Athlete Blood Test to help reach their goals. Testing is easy. Simply go to athletebloodtest.com, choose your panel, and schedule an appointment at a conveniently located lab core. Whether you're running your first marathon or competing to win, we're cheering for you, and we can help you get there. Use code SRC15 for 15% off your first panel.
Hello, Strong Runner Chicks. It's Elena here, and today we are joined by Kristen Dornbos. She is the founder of Paper Trails Greeting Company, and she is spearheading a petition titled Equal Money for Equal Miles. Despite competing on the same 26.2-mile course, athletes in the wheelchair and para categories are awarded only a fraction of the prize money their able-bodied counterparts receive. That is, if they are awarded anything at all. Kristen is using hashtag Equal Money for Equal Miles to bring awareness to this issue and spark change. We are so excited to have you on the podcast today, Kristen. Thank you so much for joining.
Hey, Elena. Thanks for making time for me today.
Yeah, of course. Just so glad that we can help to spotlight and share a little bit more about Equal Money for Equal Miles. And one question that I have just off the bat is, what inspired you to create Equal Money for Equal Miles petition?
I think a big part of it was the Tokyo Games in 2021. So I got like super into the Paralympics and learned that 2021 was actually the first year in history that Paralympians are now paid the same for a medal as Olympians, which I mean, first of all, my mind goes to like, okay, why wasn't that the case all along? But, you know, I started asking some bigger questions about the running community, and about, you know, some of these really big marathons and these big races that we all watch. And so the disparity in pay was just, so huge. I felt like I couldn't ignore it. I did some poking around. I messaged some people, I emailed some people, I asked some people like, hey, do you know if anybody is heading up any kind of like formal effort to change this? And really my efforts came up with nothing as far as like trying to find, somebody else out there doing it. And so it was one of those kind of things where it was like, okay, well, I guess if nobody else is going to do it, like I'm going to do it. And, it means a lot to me. So.
Yeah, no, that's taking that leap of faith and the effort to create something that can have such a large impact in the future, just even starting, I know that the focus of the petition is for the US major marathons, but obviously hoping that we can, that making this something that can come into action can trickle down to just even like local road races and other races across the world even too. And through learning a little bit more about the petition, I had no clue that the Tokyo Olympics were the first Olympics where the award medal for a medal was the same, or that the rule was created then that it was going to be the same prize money. So that was, I don't know. I don't think I'd seen like any news articles or anything that was, once I did some research, then I found some, but it wasn't anything that I'd seen like posted on Facebook, like that was happening or that I was aware of beforehand.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like in the mainstream media a lot. And people aren't really talking about it a ton. And so it just makes it that much harder to change those things when nobody's really bringing attention to it. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. And grateful that this is something that you took that leap of faith for to create this. Because sometimes, you know, we wonder, nobody's created anything for this. I guess we'll just move on and not do anything. But it takes a lot of effort to say, you know what, this is something that matters and it's going to have a really big impact. And so I'm going to step up and make it happen.
I'm really hoping that it has a big impact. So, I mean, we're just in the beginning stages right now. And yeah, still, I mean, nothing's come of it, obviously, because it's just such a new thing. We only launched like a week ago. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to gain some signatures and gain steam and put it out there in the world. So
yeah.
Fingers crossed that we make big change, but
yeah, sometimes the big change takes a little longer than we hope for, but
yeah,
for just sure. Getting something started, as you said, now you there's something out there for someone else who's passionate about this issue. Maybe after watching the Winter Olympics and Paralympics, somebody's like, hey, is there something out there about that? Yeah. And then they look and they saw that you created it. So
maybe
goes forward from there. And along those lines, we talked a little bit about how the pay differences for the Paralympics, but would you mind providing listeners with some background knowledge about para athletes and wheelchair athletes and the disparities in pay specifically in the US major marathons?
Yeah. So are you looking for like specific numbers and stuff?
It's whatever,
off the top of my head.
Yeah. I know this, like thinking through like the Boston Marathon this past year was the first time that the para athlete category was even created, which I ran in Boston this past year. And as I was reading through, I was like, wow, that's really neat that there's a para athlete category this year I didn't even think, wow, here's the pay differences. Cause for Boston, I think it was $1,500 that a para athlete got for
winning. Yeah, which is crazy. So yeah. Like the first person across the line in the open category gets, you know, like $150,000, which mm-hmm. I'm definitely not saying that they don't deserve that or that should be less. Like, no, nobody's arguing that. Like they earned that, right? But like, you know, I think the wheelchair division gets, what, 25 or 15,000, something like that. Yeah. Just a fraction of what the open division receives. And then, you know, the para category is the first person across the line gets $1,500. And like, that to me just feels like kind of insulting, honestly. Like you just ran the Boston Marathon and won your category and mm-hmm. you're being awarded 1% of what the open division winner is being awarded. Like that doesn't seem right to me. And yeah, so that's very small picture of a very big issue.
Yeah, definitely. I full-heartedly agree with that. And then as I was like thinking and reflecting on that, not that an able-bodied athlete doesn't have a lot of costs to come to an event either, but just somebody who might have extra gear to check, to fly, just all those other expenses
for sure.
too are just a small piece of that. But
yeah.
The $1,500 probably barely covers just those travel costs for someone to even make it to the marathon to compete in as well.
Yeah, that's such a good point mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, yeah. What do you feel like are the best ways that individuals can support para athletes, wheelchair athletes, and athletes with disabilities? Not only thinking about like in a marathon, but athletes who maybe are competing in different races, maybe a half marathon or a local road race as well.
So I think really just like learning about the sport and getting excited about it and talking about it. I mean, there's so many people out there doing this. And it's crazy that we don't hear more about it. I feel like it needs a lot more attention than it's getting. And so, you know, start following some of these athletes. I mean, you know, Tatiana McFadden is great, but like, if she's the only para athlete that you're following, like there's something wrong with that. Like you need to broaden your horizon. You need to start learning who some of these athletes are because they are arguably like some of the best in the world. And yeah, if you don't know who they are, that's an issue, you know. We need to just have more people getting excited about the sport and bring more attention to it, I think.
Yeah, I think that too starts just like when you're thinking about middle school and high school sports and bringing in those athletes, like thinking about your own teams and what was the representation like on teams that maybe you were a part of in middle, high school, college even, or just other people that you might have known on different sports too. When you think about that and in even in your local community, when you show up to road races and noticing what kind of people are there and talking to those people and learning a little bit more about them and how you can support them in your local community and even on the teams that you're on as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about the 2021 Tokyo Games that Paralympians are paid the same amount as Olympians for medaling in an event. So the argument that asking the US major marathons to do the same really isn't a new concept because the IOC is one of the largest governing bodies for athletes and for athletics. So thinking about asking US major marathons, which I guess maybe for some of those people that aren't aware of that, thinking of the Boston, New York City marathons, thinking about those concepts and how we can create a little bit more change in funding and thinking about why do you believe that US major marathons aren't offering the same amount of money for para and wheelchair athletes?
I think it's probably twofold. I mean, first of all, a lot of these categories didn't exist before. And so when you create something new, there's always, you know, a time period where like things are kind of awkward, but also like it's always been this way, right? And like it has always, nobody has really stood up and said like, what the F, right? And so, you know, there's not a whole lot of incentive for change when you have structures like this that like, the vast majority of runners don't even know that this is a problem, you know? And so there's not really a whole lot of incentive for change for these marathons. But I think another huge reason, if I'm going to be super, like, just I'm going to call it out, it's money, is that they don't want to spend the money on something that they don't deem worthy. And I think that that is completely false. And then that's the biggest pushback that I've gotten on this petition from people who will say, well, but these athletes don't bring in as much money. And I'm like, well, so like treating people with equality and respect and dignity, like should depend on money? Like that doesn't really sit well with me. And I know, you know, that that's not true, but it really is how some of these things operate.
Yeah. And even like goes back to the issue of not thinking of just our teams, but thinking about who are the people who are on those leadership boards for the marathons, who's showing up to the table to talk about how the races are being organized, where's funding coming from, who's showing up to these races. Which brings us to the larger issue of inclusivity in the running world and in the running community, which is obviously something that we have a lot of work to continue doing. Just as we've learned a lot, or I've learned a lot in the past year and a half about a little bit more about inclusivity in sport and in the running world as well, just knowing who's showing up and realizing, hey, this is where this disparity is from. Nobody has showed up for this reason. And that's when there's not change happening here in this arena.
Yeah.
Along those lines of thinking about the marathons, how do you believe that the US major marathons would benefit from offering equal prize money? And thinking a little bit more about that piece and how that makes people feel represented and feel welcome to even show up to the starting line?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think it's definitely an opportunity for them to live up to their own values. Like looking at you, New York City Marathon, and your commitment to be more diverse and equitable and inclusive and socially responsible and all of that stuff. Like this is a great opportunity to live up to that. And, you know, I know personally, I would be way more willing to spend money at an event that I know is being fair about how they're paying people. And yeah, just think about like all of the fans of the sport of running that they could gain. I mean, people with disabilities are the largest minority in the US, and like seeing themselves represented at an event like this is huge to so many people. And just think about the amount of people out there who've never gotten involved in running, never been a fan of the sport, never followed it at all, because they just have never seen anybody like them doing it. Mm-hmm. So
it's a really great point. Just thinking about all that one can gain by just offering and creating space for other underrepresented groups of people to feel welcome somewhere.
For sure.
Yeah. So thinking about, as I just talked about, the representation and feeling welcome, why do you feel that representation is crucial for para wheelchair athletes?
I think it goes along with all representation, right? Like, representation affects not just how the world sees people with disabilities, but then also how they see themselves. And so, I mean, that is the definition of ableism, is like, you know, discrimination in favor of able-bodied people. And like, what happens to ableism when you show a bunch of amazing, badass, disabled athletes doing incredible things? Like, you're starting to disrupt those social constructs that have caused so much harm. And I feel like it's just really important. So it's a societal thing. It's an individual thing. And it matters on just so many different levels.
Yeah. And I think that thinking through those pieces, it helps one to believe that like participation in sport is valuable mm-hmm. and creates mm-hmm. just creates that space for folks to show up and to share a little bit more about their own stories too. Because
for sure,
when you go and look at a race website, you're curious to look at, oh, who are these people that are showing up? I want to read some more stories. Like, mm-hmm. wow, what a cool person. This person is showing up here. I want to learn more about them. I remember when I ran Boston, Chris, Nick, I might say his last name wrong.
I know who you're talking about.
He was the first Special Olympian to complete an Ironman. And yeah. I remember I was running Boston and I passed him and I was like, hey, great job, way to go. And just That's seeing awesome. Him out there and like being able to have read about his story was really, really cool. And it really makes you feel like, wow, this person's doing some really great things out here today. And you just want to lift those people up and support them too, because running Boston, you see a lot. For me personally, that was only my second marathon, and I saw so many different kinds of people out there running that I hadn't That's so cool. seen yeah. before, which goes to the same issue. Like, I hadn't seen so many different people having guides out there for runners as well. I've never seen that before. And mm-hmm. that's where I think this issue is so important, because the US major marathons is such a large stage for people, and not yeah. just for the athletes who are running in the field, but for the fans supporting too. They see all these kinds of different people out there running, showing up for themselves and working hard toward a goal. And not that that is something that needs to be, it is inspiring, but it's something that, you know, you makes you think a little bit more of what were some of the obstacles that people had to show up for these races, and how did they get here? I think I love your point of you knowing that races are supporting para athletes and wheelchair athletes and athletes with disabilities makes you want to pay more, or makes you mm-hmm. want to feel like you want to invest your money, because we all know paying for a yes. business is a lot of money. Sometimes you question, wait, why am I paying this much money? Where is this money going? Because sometimes I'm questioning this right now, because I want to sign up for a half marathon. I'm like, this is kind of a lot of money. Like, where is this money going to?
Tell you what, it's a lucrative business. Like, all of these really, really big marathons, there's a lot of money. And to anyone who says that they just don't have the money, I really don't think that's true. I believe that they're I mean, obviously they are for profit organizations and they are, you know, pulling in millions of dollars. And so, yeah, why not put that money behind, you know, a group of people that's, you know, historically been marginalized and really celebrate their accomplishments.
I can only agree. And I can only hope that so many other people feel that same way, and that this petition is able to gain steam and more momentum to hopefully we can open up the participation book or guide and see that those payments and equal pay for all athletes who are showing up there. And who knows, maybe even some new categories even too, because I'm sure there's some groups of folks that are missing from getting paid or just, you know, receiving an award for something too, outside of like age group awards too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, but that I honestly hadn't really thought of like adding categories to these races, because, you know, this is kind of like Paralympics 101, but like the IPC or the International Paralympic Committee has its own classification system in order to make competition fair for people with disabilities. And so they have 10 different, you know, very specific categories that people need to fall into in order to qualify as a quote unquote para athlete. And so those are things like, you know, limb deficiency or intellectual impairment or uncoordinated movements or vision impairment, things like that. But what happens when you're actually someone like me who like has a disability that doesn't fit within one of those 10 categories? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's an important distinction to make that like the term para is really only used in context of events that are recognized by the IPC or like use their same system of, you know, categories for athletes. So
that's really interesting. I read a little bit more because this was the last summer Olympics was the first time that I've actually really paid attention to the Paralympics. Honestly, I'm not really sure why. I guess it's just that it was something that I'd never really even what knew much about. I guess now that like I have the decisions to control a little bit more, like, oh, I want to watch this, or this is what I'm going to watch. I guess in the past, it was just something that I just didn't, I guess during college, I didn't have the time to always watch the Olympics. But this year I was like, hey, I'm going to watch this. The Paralympics are happening. It's 2 weeks after the Olympics wrap up.
Something like that. Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to watch. And honestly, I think it's even more interesting because
it's so cool.
Yeah. I was like, wait, I got to learn about all these different the different Paralympic categories. I didn't know, or I was like, wait, how does this work? So that was all new to me. I didn't know. It seemed like a lot more than 10 for some reason. So,
well, yeah, I mean, there's 10 different like classes or whatever, but then there's like underneath those, like you have different levels of impairment as far as like, you know, like a bilateral amputee is in a different kind of class than somebody with just a single, leg, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, and actually, yeah, that's a really good point, that it seems like more categories, but, there's actually more medals to be won at the Paralympics because all of those categories and subcategories each have their own medal ceremony and their own medal awards. And so when you think about, you know, the money that's being put into, the athletes who win a medal, it's actually much more expensive at the Paralympics now because there's so many different categories and everything. So
learning lots of new things tonight. That was something I didn't even think about. I was aware that there were some more medal ceremonies, but I didn't even think about that. The money difference is quite a big difference between the two there, which only brings more validation to the fact that we need to work on that in the running world. And
For sure.
Just even learning from the athletes who are in the Paralympics or just, you know, competing in different, maybe in the Special Olympics or other different sporting events in the States as well. And learning from those athletes and their experiences competing in more inclusive environments, thinking like through the Special Olympics, like how is it that, how is some of the sport or the way that this competition is run, what are some adaptations that make you feel welcomed and in a part of this space that in running and at races, that something that we can work on, because I know there's a lot of that needs to be done for races, what you can bring onto a bus if you're getting bussed out somewhere, what's available at aid stations, maybe not having aid stations just for elite runners, but maybe having some aid stations for athletes who maybe need some other different equipment or different fueling needs too.
Yeah. I mean, that would definitely be me. Even though, I'm not a para athlete, but, definitely would need some accommodations in some of these races. And even, I had to, email the Chicago Marathon and be like, hey, I know that you guys have like a rule against backpacks, but like, I have to have like a pack and like the, you know, the pump and everything hooked up to my feeding tube and all that crap in order to like even run a marathon. So like, I'm not going to sign up for your race and like put my name in the lottery if I get picked. And then I'm paying like what, $250 or $300 to like, you know, get an entry into this marathon that I find out that I can't run because you won't let me have this accommodation, you know? So, and they were very nice about it. They said, you know, go ahead, but and then my name didn't get picked. So it was all for nothing.
Now they're more aware. Maybe there's some language that can be changed in marketing, or just, you know, you had to reach out and ask those questions, which
maybe. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that are not maybe thinking that they can reach out and ask those questions because nobody's reaching out to them and asking like, what do you have any kind of, you know, need for accommodations, or do you have any kind of disability or whatever? And so, there's people whose literal full-time jobs it is to make events like this more accessible. And we have a long way to go.
That just brings up the point of what the marketing, like even on the event website, is there a tab with a little bit more information for athletes with disabilities or athletes just that need some extra accommodations? There's rarely, I think, if any, a tab for that to learn a little bit more if you have some questions.
Maybe like a page.
But you are bringing so much awareness. From what our conversation, just from following you on social media, you're not afraid to ask those questions and just to say, hey, there's something missing here. I'm going to step into this and try to create some change. It may not all work out, but by continuing to show up and knock on the door per se, then hopefully by continuing to knock, something more will happen. And it won't seem like there's so many obstacles to get into that door too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the saying? If you never ask, it's always going to be no.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sometimes we just have to question and be like, hey, why isn't this working out this way? And I think that's the exact reason behind like this petition that you've created is, hey, why isn't this out here? Like, I'm just going to create it and try to make some change here and in this space. And one question I have actually, through this petition, have you had anybody reach out that was like, wow, this is something that I was hoping would happen, but I just wasn't sure it would happen. Or maybe for some other athletes that could relate and like, wow, this is something really impactful and I'm excited to see where it goes, or anything along those lines.
I do have a few friends who've been kind of in on the whole thing from the start, who, you know, either have disabilities or work with people with disabilities and have said like, oh my gosh, this is so needed. I think maybe the most reaction I've gotten has been, so I did some emailing back and forth with Adrienne Haslett, who, is running the Boston Marathon. And, she's a really big part of the reason why they actually created the para category in the first place. So she was a huge, huge advocate for that. And, it was super, helpful and insightful to hear from her, in a meaningful way that, you know, this is something that's needed. And that just kind of gave me, I think, the extra boost that pushed me over the edge. So I was like, okay, all right, here I go. So yeah, I'm actually thinking about going to Boston and cheering. I don't know. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Oh, I think you'd have a great time if you went. And I think it's so special that Adrian reached out to Shalane and that Shalane is all in to run with her. And she's coaching her
Amazing.
Correct?
She's coaching her and then going to like run with her on race day. Yeah. So I'm really excited to like follow that whole journey too, and totally like fangirling on both of them. And yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. I'm really curious even to hear like from both of their Adrian and Shalane's experiences in Boston, what that's like for both of them and what they noticed too, through Shalane's experiences of being like an elite runner, and who just ran Boston recently, but you know, who's also from Boston, and knowing what she might notice where there's some gaps that, hey, Boston could be more accessible in this way. Noticing some things that she might notice. And then because of her, obviously it's kind of a bummer that you have to have somebody that always has such a high caliber to make changes sometimes, but sometimes that gets a change moving along a little bit faster. So maybe there are some areas that Shalane will be able to help to notice and make some change happen a little bit faster in those arenas too.
Yeah. Agreed. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I really have enjoyed learning a little bit more from you and having this, like, this is a great conversation. It was something that I was talking with a couple friends about after sharing the petition on my own social media. I had a few friends.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. They were like, wow, this was something I didn't know about and learn about. So
yeah.
Thinking through that, do you have, or you know, we can brainstorm how others can get involved and spread awareness to create change in the prize money awarded by marathons?
Yeah, I mean, the like the simple, obvious answer, please do sign the petition. You can go on Instagram and find my profile, Paper Trails Greeting Co. And it's the link is right in the bio there. And I'm hoping that you'll be able to just copy and paste it right into the show notes, but
yep, I will.
Cool.
It'll be there. we'll put it in there. So it's easy for folks to find if you haven't signed it yourself, or if it's something that maybe you have assigned, but you're like, wait, where's that link? Can I share it with a friend or anyone that you might know who's interested too?
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, talk about it with your running friends, talk about it with your running group. I think just bring awareness to it. And, if you want to share it, that's great. But we just need people to learn about it and understand. I think the biggest thing that I hear from runners, at least at first, when I said, you know, I'm creating this petition and here's what I'm doing, the immediate reaction from everybody was, oh my gosh, this is atrocious. I just didn't know what was happening. Mm-hmm. And so I think the more people that know about it and that know kind of what's been going on all along, I think that's going to really start to turn the tide.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think runners are, I joined the running community and feel the running community because I think runners are such supportive people who do have ability to make change and who care a lot about something, because we wouldn't show up to run most days if we didn't really care about what we were doing. So I think that passion can spread into other areas of life too. A question of curiosity, is there a goal of signatures that you're hoping to have before, like, maybe are you sending emails to like Chicago, Boston, or New York City or anything like that?
Oh boy. So yeah, I don't know exactly. It's not like I need X number in order to like approach them. Yeah. I mean, I think we're over 400 right now, which is whatever, you know, it is what it is, but it's still, you know, gaining attention and gaining speed and everything. I think, you know, the platform that I put it on, change.org, I think that they send emails on my behalf, like, when I hit certain milestones or something, they will send some sort of automated email about the petition to the email addresses that I listed there.
Oh, wow.
So I think that there is on some level, like a little bit of knowledge that like, okay, this is out there in the world and it's going on. Mm-hmm. But I haven't had the chance to formally, like deliver the petition to them yet. So That will be coming later. Hopefully we can gain some more attention and signatures before then.
Yeah, no, that's great. Good to know. So we're all aware. We can help support you in ways that we can. And for listeners who are interested in supporting you a little bit more, or maybe even listeners who have some connections to people who are on leadership boards or within those races can help out too. Thank you so much for sharing all of this, Kristen, and also just for the work that you're doing to make change in all that you do, and using paper trails and on your beautiful artwork as well. Thanks. I love seeing your art. So thank you, Kristen, for joining us on SRC Radio. Super grateful to have you here. And thank you all for tuning in and listening today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to the Strong Runner Chicks Radio. Do us a favor and leave a review in iTunes to help spread awareness and foster the SRC community. Additionally, make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Strong Run Chicks.